Shall I find John 10:10? Right, we're not wading heavily into the Bible this morning. I'm just taking a theme. I'm asking a question. And the question is quite a heavy one. The sermon title is called Life Before Death. Life Before Death. That's my theme, Life Before Death. Here's another question. What happens when we die? That's my theme today. Okay? What happens when we die? You were thinking about this morning. Well, welcome, Phil.
I googled it this morning.
You googled that this morning? Yeah. That is amazing. I haven't hacked your computer and I'm like watching. No, serious, that's my question.
I woke up. I lost my father 2 years ago yesterday. So I just woke up thinking of
it. That's strange, isn't it? Well, welcome. So that's my question this morning. And you might hear new things and you might have loads of questions at the end, and ask away, any of you. Ask me anything you like. Okay, it's a heavy subject, but it's one we got to be clear on, isn't it? In 2015, June, this month, last month, gunmen opened fire on a Tunisian beach, didn't they? Killing around, I think it's 30 people. So there you are, you're lying on a beach and you hear gunshots. Someone next to you is shot to death. And then the guy is pointing a gun at you. You've got to sort yourself out now, haven't you? What happens when you die? It's a very big appointment coming between you and your maker, says the Bible. What do you do at that moment when the gun's pointed at you? I tell you what you won't do is try and sort yourself out, because you'll be panicking, won't you? You won't think, hang on a minute, Mr. Gunman, I got to go through my Bible notes in my head and my Sunday school teacher and what she was doing. It'd be over too quickly. Adrenaline will be pumping. You might do this. Stephen Meller threw himself over his wife Cheryl Meller and used himself as a human shield and saved her life. So adrenaline kicked in and he jumped and protected her. You might do that, or you might not do that. I don't know if I would. You never know, do you? You might just leg it and leave your loved ones. I don't know. Young people died in a car accident this week, not too far from here. Someone died of a heart attack. Rita's ex-pastor, Peter Trumper, died of old age. Did you know that? Peter Trumper died this week. You know, when you're in that dark tunnel, staring at death, you'll be panicking, I think. You won't be in a sound mind. This is in the movies. So the big question is, what's going to happen? Okay. What happens when you die? Well, I got great news for you this morning, which is why I woke up happy even though it was raining, because I got great news for you. And even when you are panicking, this issue can be sorted long before that moment comes. It can be sorted today. Here's another question. Let me ask it another way. What happens when you live? All right? This sermon is called Life Before Death. What happens when you live? You're like, what are you on about, Owen? Well, I'll tell you. John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more fully or more abundantly. So, if he's telling people, I've come that you may have life or be alive, what's he saying? That they're dead already, isn't he? That is what he's saying to the group in front of him. No, he's saying, I've come that you may have a life. In other words, by immersion, he's saying, you're already dead. That's interesting. So don't ask me the question, what happens when we die? Let's ask Jesus, what happens when we die? The answer is, you're dead already. In Ephesians, in the Bible, that's another book, Paul is writing a letter and he says, we're all born dead. What are you on about, Paul? Well, he's saying, spiritually, we're dead. So baby Jensen, who was born last year, he was born, but he was spiritually dead, Jesus is saying. You know, Jesus is quite offensive, and you're not afraid to do it. And therefore, because we're spiritually dead, we are also going to physically die too. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a piece of fruit. When I told you this before, when I was in year 7 in 1996, just to put my age out there, first year of high school for me, 1996. Yeah. I had an idea to save the world. I told you this before. And my idea was, get rid of all the rubbish which is poisoning the ozone layer in the world. So I realized that when you have a piece of fruit, it rots. So I thought, well, if you shove some rubbish in the fruit, when the fruit rots, it'll rot the rubbish. It's clever, isn't it? Yeah. It didn't work. Anyway, I got an apple. I cut it in half. I put a Quaver wrapper in it and then sellotaped it back together. And it's still in my bedroom today. Like half rotted with the Quaver wrapper inside. And when I was going out with Rita and we got engaged, she said, you're welcome now to move in, but you're not bringing the apple. I said, Rita, we're going to have a problem here because the apple goes where I go. And lo and behold, I prevailed. And the apple is still in a half manky, half perished state with a Quaver wrapper inside. You can come and have a look if you want. I should have brought it with me, shouldn't I? Well, anyway, the Bible says you're going to end up like that physically as well, just perishing. I got a bad back already. I'm only 30. Have you got problems? Like, I used to play football throughout school. That was my sport. I played last Saturday, honestly. I'm like a chugboat turning now. I'm only 30. It's pretty sad, isn't it? But have you got problems? You know when you bend down and you get stuck and you can't get up anymore? Has that happened to you? Or is it just because I'm lanky with a bad back? You got
35.
Downhill at 35. Dodgy knees. Yeah. People always asking, you know, can you pick that up for me? I got dodgy knees. Well, why are we like that? Like perishing? Because the Bible says, this is all based on what the Bible says, okay? This is the Bible's opinion. We were made for God, by God, and for God, to enjoy God. But sin, as we saw in the video, has separated us from God. And the world is like under a curse now because we love sin so much and we're distant from God. We're disconnected. So if he's the source of life, he is life, and we're disconnected from it, we're like a fruit plucked off a bit of off the tree and we perish. See? Someone said you're like a bone snapped out of joint. He's the body and we're just kind of this isolated, disconnected like being. So what happens when we die? Well, Jesus says, no, we're already dead. Already dead, spiritually. And we're going to die physically as well. So what happens when we die physically? It's just more of like what we've got now. Life without Jesus. That's what death is. It's just going to continue in the soul without Jesus. In the video it said, what do you do with a Christmas tree in January? You chuck it away, don't it? Yeah, chuck it away. Because it's not in its root anymore, and it doesn't function anymore, so on it goes on the rubbish heap. Well, yeah, of course. If we're disconnected from the source, eventually we'll go to the rubbish heap because we're not functioning as we're supposed to anymore, because we're supposed to function with God. In that sense, we're dead. The rubbish heap in the Bible is called hell, where it's like, isolated people from God who don't want God, they get what they want, a life, an everlasting life without God. The thing is though, at death, every bit of the goodness in us, like we've got little bits of goodness left in us from God, well all that's gone at death. It's like the ultimate separation. We're distant from him now, but it's like even more separate at death. So back to this Tunisian beach, right? People on the beach were enjoying stuff from God, whether they liked it or not. The ice creams. God is very kind. He gives us food and people to have brains to invent ice cream and we could buy ice cream. And the sun was shining. All the lovely things from God. And people were in love with one another and really patient to one another. And they had water and they were healthy and they were courteous to one another. All those things are like the God stuff given to us. Yeah? But why is hell so horrible? Because all the lovely God stuff is gone from people. They don't want him and they get what they want. Complete disconnection from him. So God leaves us entirely to be what we're like. Which is actually quite bad. Because we can be quite nasty. Do you ever have you're really nasty to someone and you say afterwards, oh, I don't know what came over me. Sorry, I don't know what came over me. Well, the Bible says it's not what came over you, it's what came out of you. See? There's a big difference, isn't it? Like, oh, I was influenced by someone else to be nasty. The Bible says, no, you weren't. You just got nastiness in you. You have, and you haven't you? That's why they didn't like Jesus, but he was honest. Jensen. Honestly, he's naughty. He's been born a naughty boy, and all children and half, you see? He doesn't like authority. He's not interested in God. I know he's only a dut. But he'll grow up and guarantee you he won't want to follow God. It's just us, isn't it? It's how we are. So really, Jesus' big message is, I've come to give you life so you can escape from all the nastiness and sin in you. I don't know. I think we have tastes of hell on earth now. It's like described as a place where there's crying and ugliness between people. Have you ever felt really, really lonely? Doesn't it sometimes feel like hell on earth? Just like complete isolation. I think that is God telling you, you do not want to go where that ends up. Hell is full of that horrible stuff where there's no goodness of God left anymore. Have you ever feel violated by someone else? They've taken advantage of you. Aren't people really nasty? It's like God cursing the world, saying you do not want to end up where people are allowed to be who they really are. Have you ever had a really nasty marriage vow and there's hatred and anger and bitterness? Have you been there? Or relationship row? Like, it's horrible, isn't it? Have you ever seen a real fight, especially with girls, and they're trying to tear clumps out of each other? It is like hell. It's hellish on earth. Humans can be really nasty. And regret. Have you ever had regret? Well, the Bible speaks of hell of being a place of regret, where you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I don't want to be here. I shouldn't have made that decision. Like, and it just eats at you. And God is cursing. There's loads of sign on earth. You do not want to end up continually in that place. It's like a rubbish heap and you were made for so much more. You don't want to go where sin ends up. And so, he sends a rescuer. And you're like, oh, and okay, what's heaven then? Well, I'll tell you what heaven is. It's a continuation of life with Jesus. Now, it's not sitting on the clouds and eating cheese and playing harps, wearing a white dressing gown. It is, we can have life now, and we're going to look into this, and it just carries on in heaven. But as hell is so much worse in heaven, it is so much better because all the bad stuff's been taken away up there. See? So John 10:10, I have come that you may have life. In John 17, it says, life is to know God. And Jesus, that's life. And when you trust him and plonk all your sins on him, the disconnection ends and he takes your hell away. That's what happens. Your hell is dealt with. And the Bible says you are literally seated with Jesus now. Your sins are forgiven and you're like a joint snapped back into place. Only Christians are alive spiritually because Jesus says so. So, let's wrap all this up. When your heart stops beating, whether you're shot on a beach or, I don't know, you choke on a burger or something, Hebrews chapter 9 says, you're appointed to die and then you've got to face the judge. And he's going to judge you now, whether you're coming into glory or not. And it's either going to be more of the same bad stuff or more of the same lovely stuff. In other words, you're just going to carry on now. It's going to be a confirmation of what you are. What you are now. Are you in Jesus now? Then it'll carry on. Are you a hater of Jesus now? It's going to carry on. Listen to this. Jesus says, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in me has eternal life now. They will not be judged because they've crossed over from death to life. So there are people in this room now who are spiritually alive. What happens when we die? We're already alive. It's just going to carry on. Understand? So, I urge you, put the stuff that's killing you onto the cross of Jesus and leave it there. And when you fluff up this week 1,000 times, put it on Jesus. He loves to take sin away and connect you to the Father. Outer darkness, hell is called. Why do you want to go there? Why? You can have light now. Heaven is described as one big great feast. It's a picture of lovely things. What's keeping you out of the feast? Is it worth it? Is it you? Are you really worth it? Here's Jesus again. Don't go to the place of disconnection. It's horrible. Let me put it so simple. Trust Jesus. Follow him. Doesn't have to be a question that bugs you anymore. What am I going to do when I die? What happens when I die? Doesn't have to bother you. Jesus says you can have absolute peace about that issue now. I want to end by just telling you slightly what heaven might be like. When Jesus died, he rose again. That's a picture of what life is like after the grave. And he did a few things after he died and rose again. So it's like the afterlife. And someone wrote it down, see, in the Bible, and we read about it. And do you know what he did after he was, what is life after death for Jesus? He went on lovely walks with his friends on the beach. He had breakfast with them. In fact, he had a barbecue. He had good conversations and they laughed together. It was just like all lovely things without sin tainting it anymore. That is a taste of heaven. It's not sitting on clouds. It's lovely things. Now, how do we get there then with all of our sin? Well, as I said, the judge, Jesus, actually became judged. And you know that he died on a cross. He went there voluntarily to take away the curse of sin. And the Father, like, cursed the Son. So all the curse can be taken away. So you can dump your sin on Jesus and know absolute forgiveness and peace with God. And heaven is amazing, not because there's lovely things up there and there's no horrible sin, but actually because Jesus is there. And when you see how much he's given his life to win you and take away your sin, you will say this: I can't wait to get to heaven, not because Uncle Jack is there or Billy's there, praise God if they are, but actually because Jesus is there. And we don't use Jesus to get to heaven like a little stepping stone. Actually, Christians say, no, he's like heaven. He's amazing. I want to follow him. He is life. See, here we're not some religious cult where we're all a bit weird. We are a little bit weird, aren't we? But like uber freaky religious junky stuff. We're just sinners who follow Jesus. And we love Jesus. So we don't read the Bible to kind of get him off our back and come to church to just calm him down a bit. We come to the Bible and we come to church and read the Bible because it tells us about our lovely God who has rescued us and taken from the rubbish heap into eternal life. We're all sinners here, but some of us can be saved sinners with life with God. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So please hang around after and we'll chat about these things. Okay.